Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Congratulations on getting through 9-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drop. My name is Karrence Harrison. To my right, it is the sports machine, Sean Levine. Directly in front of me is our producer extraordinaire, Brandon Kiley. Coming up in 30 minutes, we will be joined by your favorite person, Jason Lockenfour, on radio.com. He will be on the show in 30 minutes to talk about the breaking news of the day. Jalen Ramsey away from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Are the Chiefs a possibility? Something tells me that will be a prevalent theme of the hits. Let's get it, BK.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go. Hits are brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city, now open in the Crossroads and the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. The best cornerback in the NFL is available, and the Chiefs apparently aren't all that interested. The Chiefs were reportedly aggressive in trying to acquire Minkah Fitzpatrick the other day, but the Steelers outbid them with their own first-round pick, which could be in the top 10 with Big Ben being out. Earlier today, we did ask Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports why the Chiefs would not have that same aggressiveness in a trade for Jalen Ramsey. Here's what he had to say on The Drive.
My opinion is if the Chiefs were not interested in acquiring Jalen Ramsey, who's somebody who on the field, I believe, has the ability to give this team a 94 Deion boost, it would be for reasons other than football, you know, concern about fitting the locker room, that type of deal. So if this is something that didn't come to pass, I would assume that has something to do with it, just because, you know, as a football player, he's special, he's terrific, he's great, all that stuff. And he's still really young, and he fits actually with the timeline of your other, like, young guys, your other, like, star guys.
C-Dot, knowing all of that, are you surprised that based on all the reports we've heard, the Chiefs aren't more interested in Ramsey?
Check out the podcast page, 610sports.com. You can also catch it on iTunes. That was the surprising tone in our conversation with Therese Paylor. I don't think the Chiefs have the hots for Jalen Ramsey. Maybe it's the money. Maybe it's the draft pick compensation. Maybe it's the player's attitude. Therese couldn't really put his thumb on it. But I don't think they really want Jalen Ramsey. I think they're somewhat fixated on Patrick Peterson. I think they've tried multiple times to try to get Patrick Peterson, and Arizona has said no every time. And I do think that part of Brett Veach is holding out hope that he will be available between now and October 30th when the NFL trade deadline is. But there hasn't been a report today that would suggest that the Chiefs really want to go out and get Jalen Ramsey.
I know there's really smart people working over at One Arrowhead Drive, including Andy Reid and Brett Veach. But, guys, I think you're overthinking this one. The Chiefs have one glaring hole. Now, they can certainly improve at a lot of positions, but they've got a one glaring hole, and that's the cornerback position. They've got the money available. The best cornerback has talked himself out of Jacksonville. Jacksonville's 0-2, quarterback by Gardner Minshew. The Chiefs are 2-0, quarterback by Patrick Mahomes. It seems like an obvious fit, so I hope the Chiefs don't overthink themselves. But it's not just one or two things. I understand their hesitation a little bit. You've got the locker room concerns. You'd have to commit to this guy. It's not just a two-year deal that's left on his contract. He'd want a long-term extension. And maybe the biggest thing is, the Chiefs might not think they need Jalen Ramsey. They might think they can wait along for not a better option. That's not going to come available. He's the best cornerback in football, but possibly a cheaper option or even a safer option. I don't think that's the way to play it, but that's the way the Chiefs are playing it, at least as of today.
Two.
Hit number two, Ramsey and Fitzpatrick are the latest reminder that times are really changing in the NFL. Now, the NBA has seen players become more empowered in recent years, and it looks like that trend has made its way over to the NFL. Hall of Famer Steve Young said last night on Monday Night Countdown that he's not a big fan of this new trend.
It is now the NBA. I think, obviously, Antonio Brown proved it. He's ended up in the Patriots. Just act that way, and you end up in the Patriots. And look what the Dolphins did. Lose a game, the first game, like, call my agent. I want out of here. This is the NBA now, and front office of the NFL are going to have to deal with the fact that if you lose a couple games or get into all sideline altercation, that guy's going to demand a trade. He's a big name. What are you going to do about it? And I think at this point, it seems like they're capitulating to it. They didn't put out a hard line. There's no one going to be traded. They're going to have to come together as a league and say, we're not going to do this because it'll be insane. Every guy that's on a bad team's like, get me out of here. Give me the Patriots. Give me the Chiefs. Call their agent, and they'll start talking about it, and then it'll become true.
So that was Steve Young yesterday on ESPN. CDOT, do you anticipate that moving forward, we are going to continue seeing more situations like what we've seen so far from Jalen Ramsey and Minkah Fitzpatrick?
I think that NFL players are envious of NBA players. I think they're envious of the control that they have in terms of where they play. I think they're envious of the money that they make. A guy like Tyler Johnson would be like the 17th highest paid player in the NFL. And Tyler Johnson, you probably have no clue who he is and what NBA team that he plays for. But that's just the system that they have. What frustrates me is this is a very similar argument that we make when it comes to college athletics. Think about what NFL players do. They don't dictate what team they get drafted for, at least 99% of them. I know Eli and John Elway, but a majority of NFL players don't dictate where they get drafted. There's a rookie cap based on what they can make coming into the NFL. If you're like Patrick Mahomes, you can't negotiate your contract for another season, so you're mandated to play under the salary for 3 years, and we all know that you are severely underpaid. Your contract's not fully guaranteed. The team can franchise tag you multiple times and not give you a long-term deal. Man, the moment a player flexes and shows a little bit of control, now the system is broken and we got to do something about this. No, if we're going to allow the system to work in one capacity in which the ownership has all the power over the player, we got to allow some flexibility for when a player as accomplished as Jalen Ramsey says, I don't want to play on a team that's not going anywhere. Trade me somewhere that will. We have to allow the system to flow in both directions.
Steve Young sounded like he was about a dozen Red Bulls in, but it's just happening earlier. It feels like it's happened earlier and a little bit more often. We're 2 weeks into the season. 2 weeks, guys. And it seems like some teams like the Steelers and the Panthers have already been eliminated while other teams are significantly better than we thought. But when it comes to individual players, after 1 week, Minkah Fitzpatrick, who's pretty damn good, a first-round draft pick from last year, became available. And after 2 weeks, Jalen Ramsey becomes available. It's going to continue happening. Other players are going to come down the pipeline. At some point, though, from the Chiefs' perspective, they can't just keep talking about it and then watching those guys go to other teams. They're going to have to make an offer, and most likely, BK, they're going to have to overpay. Sometimes in football, like in life, if you really want something, you have to pay probably even a little bit more than the value of whatever the thing is worth. And in the case of Jalen Ramsey, you might have to overpay, but it's absolutely worth it.
Final hit of the day is brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city. Now opening the Crossroads and the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. It is officially the end of an era in New York. Eli Manning officially replaced by Daniel Jones earlier today, the Giants announced. Here's Chris Mortensen on why the move was made.
Eli's not getting benched because of his play in the first 2 weeks of the season. He's getting benched because that defense and that team is not a playoff contender. And so, therefore, I think that Shurmur feels like, you know, let's get on with the business of Daniel Jones.
That audio courtesy of ESPN. CDOT, Eli Manning's record is now 116-116 as a starter, officially meeting the 500 mark. He has the same quarterback rating in his career as Joe Flacco. When we look back on Eli's career, a lot of the talk will be about whether or not he's a Hall of Famer. How are you going to remember him?
Eli Manning had two championship elite-level performances in two Super Bowls against the dynasty of its era. I do think that Eli Manning is going to get in. On a side note, it took the Giants two games to realize they weren't a good football team. If they had listened to basically anybody else that follows the NFL, we would have told them this in March. It didn't take 120 minutes to decide, you know what, man, this Giants team might only win five games this season. All of us knew. We could have told you.
a 500 quarterback's going to end up in the Hall of Fame. He's going to get in because of his longevity, because of his last name, and because of the last name of the guy that he beat in not one but two Super Bowls in Tom Brady. It's going to be tough to deny him. If you made me rank, BK, you know I like lists, my Mannings. Give me Peyton 1, Danny 2, Eli 3. But Eli's certainly going to end up in the Hall of Fame. It's weird with this entire era of quarterbacks because these guys, we can debate it all day long. We can say we don't like it. We can say they don't deserve it. But the truth is they're going to get in. Like Phillip Rivers, we can have the conversation. He's going to get in. So is Eli Manning.
And that concludes the hits for today. Coming up in 20 minutes, we will catch up with Jason Lockenfora of Radio.com to get the latest on Jalen Ramsey, who has requested a trade from the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is the thing about Jalen Ramsey, and maybe you guys are on different sides. And BK, I do want to let you get to your plan. It was a good plan. If the Chiefs' hesitation on Ramsey is we don't want to spend two first-round picks, I actually understand it. If they traded the two first-round picks for Jalen Ramsey. So let's say that Brett Veach says, to hell with it, let's go for the gusto, let's go out there and make the trade for Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
They will not have a first-round draft selection for four consecutive years. In 2017, they drafted Patrick Mahomes. I would say that draft pick was pretty smart. Mm-hmm. It's worked out. In 2018, they didn't have a draft pick because they used that draft pick to acquire Patrick Mahomes. Again, good trade. In 2019, they traded that first-round pick for Frank Clark, so they didn't have a first-round selection, which created other holes on their roster because they wanted to go get a corner, but they couldn't because they didn't have a draft pick to go do it. And then it will be 2020 and 2021, four consecutive years without having a first-round draft pick. So if the logic that they're saying in the front office is, we like Jalen Ramsey, but that's just not a compensation we think is best for us in the long-term future, that actually makes a little bit of sense to me. If their argument is, we don't want to make Jalen Ramsey the highest-paid cornerback in the NFL, which we feel like he's going to have to do, we want to allocate this money for Patrick Mahomes, who's going to be the highest paid player, and we want to reward Chris Jones and have arguably the best defensive line in the NFL. That's a strategy that makes a lot of sense to me. I'd rather have Jalen Ramsey than have Chris Jones, but I understand that philosophy. And it also is changing my opinion just a little bit due to the teams that are not in on Jalen Ramsey. So from Diana Rossini, the Eagles, not in. They made a lot of sense to me. The Seahawks, not in. The Chiefs, not in. If you see that nice Porsche that has the for sale sign and you go over there and you ask some questions about it, you're like, I'm walking away. Like a lot of people right now are walking away from the table when it comes to Jalen Ramsey. And maybe that's not the case in 2 weeks. Maybe it comes down a little bit and a two and a player can get you Jalen Ramsey. But it doesn't sound like many teams in the NFL are going to bite at the current price for him.
I think something's going to happen really quick because Jacksonville plays on Thursday. And the way that it went with Antonio Brown, the way that it went with Minka Fitzpatrick, you request a trade, usually like 48 hours later, you're wearing a different jersey. So I expect this to go down or he probably doesn't play. He's probably in street clothes on Thursday for Jacksonville. It's an either or going forward for the Chiefs defense. Do you want Chris Jones or do you want Jalen Ramsey? Because you're certainly not going to be able to pay both of those guys, at least long term. But I want to push back on something that you just said about the Chiefs spending their first round draft pick the last few years. And if they make the trade for Jalen Ramsey, they won't have it for the next couple of years. Who cares? They've put themselves in a position, and I get it. You want to pay the guys the cheapest amount for the best players. I understand how the name of the game is played. But they're on the cusp of trying to win a Super Bowl. You could argue they're the most talented team in the league. There's more than one way to skin a cat. So if you are talented and you think you're good enough to win a Super Bowl, why does it matter how you do it?
If they think that there's a cheaper option that's going to come available down the line, and I do think there's going to be a cheap... Think about it like this. And maybe, again, maybe it doesn't matter to you. This is the highest compensation that you can trade for a player that's not a quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
Tell me something more expensive than two first-round picks and then making you the highest-paid player at your position. That's what happened to Khalil Mack. That's what happened to Frank Clark. Like, you can't really trade more, and didn't happen for Frank Clark. He got traded for a one and a two. This is two ones. There's not much higher compensation you can pay for a player that's not a quarterback in the NFL.
Wouldn't this be the time to overpay, though? Like, even if you think that's overpaying, isn't now the time when you've got the quarterback, when you've got the coach, when you've got the glaring hole, when you've got the money? I agree with you. Two first-round draft picks is drastic. That's giving up a ton for a non-quarterback. But if you think this is your move to get you over the top, why would you even consider it? Why would you even not consider it?
I think the hesitation is doing both. Like, it is both. It is the two draft picks and the contract. If it was one or the other, I think you'd see a little bit more interest in the player. Like, a big reason why Minka Fitzpatrick went for a first-round draft pick is he's locked in and price controlled. Like, you know what Minkah Fitzpatrick's going to cost for the next 4 years. I can go on SpotTrack and I can see, all right, he's going to cost X for X amount of time. None of us know what that number is for Jalen Ramsey. Like, there's no cost certainty at this point. We think he's going to be the highest paid corner in the NFL based on how these contract works he is. So, again, maybe I'm on the other side of this. I want Jalen Ramsey too, but I could understand from the Chiefs' perspective how they can look at it and say, okay, we're fine with trading for Jalen Ramsey. We give up a 1 and a 5 for Jalen Ramsey because we think he's that kind of player. We're not going to give up a 1, a 5, and make him the highest paid cornerback in the NFL over the same time span. That's where I think a lot of teams are hesitant and shying away from signing Jalen Ramsey.
They've got the money available, the players available, and the need is more than available. Now, I understand we'd be talking about next year. The Chiefs would be paying Tyreek Hill top 5 wide receiver money per season. They'd be paying eventually Jalen Ramsey probably the highest per year dollars of any cornerback, he said, in the league. And speaking of quarterback, oh yeah, they've got to pay that guy too. That's why there's no way you can keep Chris Jones and these other guys. But hit us up on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line 69306. And let's say it's one or the other for the next 3 or 4 years, Jalen Ramsey or Chris Jones. Something tells me, and maybe I'm wrong, 90% of people in this city loves Chris Jones. 15.5 sacks last year. Great guy in the locker room. Chiefs drafted him. There's a lot of reason to like Chris Jones. But if it's Chris Jones or Jalen Ramsey, I bet 9 out of 10 people say, let's take our chance in the secondary.
I think you'd be very surprised at how many people don't like Jalen Ramsey because of his off-the-field
personality. Hit us up, 69306. I'm curious what Kansas City thinks if it comes down to an either-or. And, yeah, Chris Jones doesn't have the locker room concerns that Jalen Ramsey has.
Not even close.
But I would say Jalen Ramsey is proven to be a better football player at this point than Chris Jones is.
I agree, but I think some of it with Jalen Ramsey that I think is hard to deny is his personality. Now, I'm a believer that your roster has to be talented enough to absorb it and your culture has to be strong enough, but we've all followed enough NFL football to know that's not how every NFL team thinks. If there's a player that has quote-unquote questionable character or some of the red flags that Jalen Ramsey is, I see why you're doing extra vetting or you say, I don't want to deal with those problems. I mean, that's what we saw from Jeff Chedia. That his report was a chief source direct with the team said that their locker room culture is too good and they don't want to damage it.
What issues? Like, I hear Chedia saying that. I hear other people talking about it.
He just got in a fight with his head coach on Sunday.
And to me, that was, I want to get the hell out of town, and it's not the best way to do it. That's probably not how you should quit a job or try to go somewhere else. But to me, that was, I'm not happy here. The team is 0-2. I want to play for a Super Bowl contender. And again, not the way to do it, but I'm going to act out so the team ends up trading me. Same thing with Antonio Brown. He wasn't happy. He didn't handle it the right way. But if the end result was to end up with a Super Bowl caliber, it worked out for Antonio Brown. It's looking like it's probably going to work out for Jalen Ramsey.
I think Jalen Ramsey's personality and character just turns a lot of people off. And some teams, and certainly fans, just don't want to deal with it. And I think that turns some people off. It's his personality plus the cost plus the contract. I see why now it doesn't appear to be a market forming. Where the market, like, the market for Minkah Fitzpatrick was a lot stronger than we've seen for the market for Jalen Ramsey. 6 teams were interested, and they got not just a first-round pick. They got what we all presume to be a high first-round draft pick for him. Minkah Fitzpatrick asked for a trade. When was it, BK? Friday? He got traded for maybe the 11th overall pick Monday night. Like, this is a different situation. No off-the-field stuff with Minkah Fitzpatrick. Cost-controlled rookie contract, younger than Jalen Ramsey. Like, the market appeared to be a lot stronger and form a lot sooner for Fitzpatrick than it has for Ramsey.
Also not nearly as good as Jalen Ramsey.
Agreed.
Maybe one day he will be. Minkah Fitzpatrick's only played one season. But this always comes down to the same thing. Risk versus reward. The risk for getting a guy like Jalen Ramsey is locker room. What happens in the locker room? You've got Andy Reid. You've got Patrick Mahomes. You've got Frank Clark. You've got Tyrann Mathieu. You've got a team on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl. That's not much of a concern of mine. And then you talk about the reward. He's the best cornerback in the NFL, and the Chiefs are the worst cornerback team in the NFL, and he's available, and the Chiefs have the money. Risk, a little bit. Reward, a lot.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll catch up with Radio.com NFL insider Jason Lockenfour to get the latest on Jalen Ramsey and what he thinks it would be to acquire Jalen Ramsey in a trade. But, BK, you had a really good idea, topic. I'm trying to think of the right word. I'm not even trying to make fun of you here like normal. You had a really good idea of what you think the plan is for Brett Veach at the position.
So we talked about this at the time over the offseason, and me and Sean really asked you quite a few times, CDOT, who was the corner that you wanted at their contract that the Chiefs could have had in the offseason? And a lot of the times, it just became very clear, like, there weren't really any great options. There were better options than what they have now, but there weren't any great options that you felt perfect about that, okay, if they added this guy on that deal, you loved the match for what the Chiefs could have had.
I think Ronald Darby was the best we came up with.
Yeah, Ronald Darby was probably the best, ultimately, that we came up with.
Which would be an upgrade over their current situation.
But no question.
I don't want to argue that again.
But I think Brett Veach said, and he looked at the market, and he was like, listen, there's not any great options for me here. And I don't want to get locked into one of these corners that's a middling guy that's probably Bashaud Breeland-esque and end up giving him a 3 or 4 year contract when we don't want them on the team for more than 1 year. And so I think he went into the offseason and he said, I'm going to buy myself some time. I'm going to get Bashaud Breeland for $2 million. We're going to move Kendall Fuller to the slot. We're going to see what we have with Tre'Davious Ward. Week five, we're going to be able to get Mo Claiborne at that point. And then when you move forward, we're going to see if somebody becomes available. Basically, you treat the season, and I remember, I think it was Todd Haley who used to look at the season this way. You break it up into quarters, right? You got the first four games as the first quarter of the season, the second quarter and moving forward. I think the Chiefs looked at the cornerback situation that way. The first quarter of the season was going to be what they have right now, and you don't feel very good about it. But the schedule also sets up in a way that you don't have to worry about it very much. The second quarter of the season, Mo Claiborne becomes the starter. And then the third quarter of the season, my guess is Brett Veach hoped he would have a solution in place, whether that be Jalen Ramsey or Patrick Peterson or Minkah Fitzpatrick or whoever becomes available. And that was ultimately his plan. I don't know that to be true, but my guess, based on the actions and the statements that he said, he knew cornerback was going to be a problem, and he believed that this was going to be the solution at some point, trading for a cornerback.
You just got off an airplane, right? Yesterday, you flew back from Florida, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever forgotten your headphones at home? You were going to listen to music or a podcast.
I do that with my charger.
You got to the airport, mm-hmm. and you forgot your headphones, you forgot your charger. And then you go to the airport store. And you know what happens?
Mm.
You spend three times the amount for a charger or three times the amount for one of those little neck pillows or headphones.
Spent $60 in Vegas on a charger.
When you could have got them a lot cheaper earlier. That's the plan that you're telling me they were following. You can get a cheap corner. You could have got the headphones at CVS or Best Buy. That's the NFL draft. You could have gotten them off Amazon. That was free agency. Now that you've waited till the last possible chance to upgrade your cornerback position, you are going to pay a premium because you have not drafted well and planned ahead for the position. So it kind of goes with what you've been saying. You got to overpay. You're not going to have a choice. Like Minkah Fitzpatrick. Let's say that the Chiefs really wanted Minkah Fitzpatrick. If you're offering a first-round pick and the Steelers are offering a first-round pick, you don't got to be John Madden to know that the Steelers' first-round pick is more valuable than your first-round pick. So what are you going to have to put in addition to that first-round pick to make sure that you acquire said player? That's the game that the Chiefs are running. If the highest your first-round pick's going to be is the 28th overall pick and there's worse teams offering the first-round draft pick than you're offering, you're always going to be in a position of weakness and never a position of strength when you're trying to go get the player that you need.
I'm going to try to do this using your analogy. You've heard of Skull Candy headphones, right?
Yes.
They're fine. They work just fine. I used to have a pair. Beats are better. We agree.
Uh-huh.
Beats are more expensive. That's what Jalen Ramsey is. He's more expensive and he's better. So in waiting, the Chiefs, in a weird, twisted, roundabout way, may have ended up with the best cornerback in all of football, because you guys are exactly right. They could have gone out there and traded for somebody. You mentioned this a lot. They couldn't have gone out there and drafted somebody. You know what they couldn't have got through free agency or through the draft? A guy like Jalen Ramsey, who right now has already been an all-pro and you could argue is the best cornerback in all of football. So I agree with you. When you talk about having to spend money at the airport, it sucks because generally you get the same product. This is not the same product. This is the best cornerback in football that's available.
And here's why I disagree with you, C-Dot, is because I think they were looking for a solution, not a patchwork situation. I think over the last couple of years, and we've talked about it a lot, they've had a lot of Band-Aids.
Band-Aids on broken bones.
They've had a lot of Band-Aids. And at some point, they wanted to be able to fix the problem. And I think by adding a guy like Jalen Ramsey or Patrick Peterson or Darius Slayer, whoever becomes available, Minkah Fitzpatrick, because apparently they really wanted him, whatever it was, whoever the player became, they wanted to find a solution. And these guys were solutions. Nobody that was available in the offseason, not a single one of them, was an actual solution to their cornerback problems. And that includes in the draft. Because if they wanted to get Frank Clark, they weren't going to be able to get that cornerback that was a solution to their issue.
To both of your analogy, I don't disagree with you at all. I don't disagree that Jalen Ramsey's it. I'm not the one that's making the trade. The Chiefs don't seem to like the price tag for the filet mignon, so they're getting a different cut of meat. If that was their plan, there's nothing wrong with that plan. If they want to go get Darius Slay, or they want to go get Janoris Jenkins or another corner, then that's perfectly fine. But the price for the best cornerback is pretty much set. It's going to cost 2 first-round draft picks, and he's going to be the highest paid corner at the end of the season. The Chiefs don't seem that thrilled about that price tag. They don't seem that thrilled about it. Now, maybe a corner will come up. So far, 2 corners have been available, right? Mm-hmm. Fitzpatrick and Jalen Ramsey. It's a first-round draft pick to get top-flight corner. You don't have – well, last year you didn't have a first-round draft pick because you traded it. 2 years ago, you'd have a first-round draft pick. And you don't want to trade 2 first-round draft picks to go get Jalen Ramsey. So that's just not the market that you're in. Like, you're not in that market. If you're not willing to spend this, you need to go to a different aisle of the store.
Why, though? Like, why are the Chiefs trying to get chop steak when filet mignon is available? That's what I don't understand. They've got the money. They've got the need. Why would they not want the best player available that is Jalen Ramsey? I just don't get it.
I think that part of it is, if you're going to pay your quarterback $40 million like we think they're going to pay it, the best way to build the talent around them is through draft picks and cheap players. It's hard to have cheap players if you don't have any draft picks to select cheap players. I like Jalen Ramsey as much as anybody. I think Jalen Ramsey's better than you think Jalen Ramsey is. I would understand Veach's philosophy. We don't want to give up 2 first-round draft picks and all this cap space to a player, and we much rather go get a cheaper option a little bit later down the line. Keep it locked in. Coming up in just a little bit on the other side of the break, Radio.com NFL insider Jason Lockefor will join us to get the latest on Jalen Ramsey and his trade request. We'll do that next. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Currently on the line is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Jason Lockefor. As always, Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Jason, thanks a lot for coming on today.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
No, happy to have you. Let's start with this. What is the latest on Jaguars corner, Jalen Ramsey?
Yeah, I mean, look, he has obviously reached an impasse with the team there. In terms of his future, they have never really seemed inclined to make him the highest paid corner in the game because of the various disciplinary issues with him and some of his clashes with authority figures in the organization. And he's made it pretty clear that that's who he thinks he is, or at least the range of compensation he should be in once he gets through this year. Other GMs I spoke to at this time last week, we're telling me that dude's going to be moved before the deadline because it's a little worse there than people know. And other teams were doing their homework and felt like this Jaguars team was going to have to, kind of like what the Giants have just bit the bullet on. You know, at some point they're going to realize that, like, the way they've been kind of trying to string it together isn't going to work, and they're going to have to get younger and go in a different direction. And Jalen Ramsey would be the perfect piece to kick that retooling off, because if Laremy Tunsil's worth 2 ones and a 2, this cat's got to be worth, you know what I mean? So they're going to be able to get a nice package for Jalen Ramsey. Now, you know, you could say Tunsil didn't get paid and they got all that for Tunsil, and this guy's a better player than Tunsil. But, you know, some of the attitudinal concerns with Ramsey, you know, he's not going to be everybody's cup of tea, but the tape is obviously elite. And any given Sunday, you could make the argument that he's the best corner in football. I don't know that you could make it every single Sunday, but that young, that much talent, playing a premium position, a lot of people are going to be interested, and a lot of time between now and the deadline to hash it out.
Jason, what kind of market is forming in your mind for Jalen Ramsey? Because all the things you were saying is true, and there's a lot of different reports out here, so I'm not asking you to speak directly on any individual report, but there doesn't appear to be a lot of teams that are interested in paying what Jacksonville wants for Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know that they're going to get that. I do think at the end of the day, they can get a 1, they could get a 2 or 3, and they could get a player, you know, a young, cheap player with upside. You know, a recent draft pick from a team who that other team has paid the signing bonus already, you know, kind of like a Minka Fitzpatrick situation. So I do think they're going to get a lot. Are they going to be able to get 2 twos in week 3? I don't know. It's a league of attrition, unfortunately, and teams, especially contending teams and teams who feel like they have a finite window of time to win with an older quarterback, or maybe before they have to really start paying their quarterback, you know, they're going to continue to take the Jags' temperature. And people are also waiting to see how he handles this, you know? Like, it's all out there now. I mean, not that, I mean, the business was really on the street anyway in terms of people in other front offices, but it spilled over on the sidelines again last week. You know, how sort of emotional is he, you know? And can he tone it down a little bit to help facilitate his own exodus from there? So people are watching that as well. So, I mean, I think some people are looking at this like the Minka Fitzpatrick situation, and it's not. Like, you know, he's cheap. He can't get paid for two more years than even if he wanted to. And Miami's having a full-scale teardown, and he's the last guy out the building, and they wanted to get it done, and, you know, in 48 to 72 hours, and they did. You know, the Jags, that doesn't have to be the case for this guy. And they also know leverage, you know, and the market could change from week to week because of injuries. So we'll see. I don't get the sense that anything's imminent, but I do think eventually there'll be enough on the table for them to make this move.
So what do? They play on Thursday. I hear what you're saying. It looks like maybe they can make a move tomorrow in the next couple of days. Maybe it could be the next couple of weeks. With that assumption, I guess that means he plays on Thursday?
I expect him to. I mean, Fitzpatrick played over the weekend. You know,
yeah.
I mean, he played Sunday, and I believe he actually took more snaps in that game than he did week one when he only played about 61% of the snaps for the Dolphins. So, yes, there is that injury risk. But, I mean, if you're the Jags, too, like, I mean, if he does suffer some sort of minor injury, like, you could always trade him after the season. You know what I mean? Like, you still got him for another year and then the fifth-year option. You know, so, I mean, obviously, barring catastrophic injury, you're controlling this player. You could actually say we got him for three more years, right? Those years plus a franchise year. So I don't think the injury risk is huge in their mind right now. It's more about waiting it out to get what they think will be the ultimate value for him. And again, I think there will be enough on the table that it does get done before the deadline. But it wouldn't have to. It could be an off. You know, it could be a trade at the combine or something like that as well.
Jason, I'm kind of in a bubble here in Kansas City with all these Chiefs fans, so just kind of want the outsider's perspective. The Chiefs obviously need some help in the secondary. They need a cornerback, but do they need Jalen Ramsey to win a Super Bowl?
I think if you had Jalen Ramsey on your on that roster, and let's say maybe they even trade, you know, a lesser starter, maybe even a defensive back or another corner as part of the deal. Boy, I'd really fancy their chances. I mean, this guy is a playmaker. I think it would put him over the top. I got to be honest with you. And there's a lot of other GMs in the league who think it would put him over the top. And there's a lot of GMs I talked to, three of them, GMs or personnel directors, who all immediately pointed to the Chiefs because of how deep they were in on Fitzpatrick, because of the constitution of that roster, and with corner being I mean, it's not the strong suit, right? We can all agree with that. Because they've been willing to bring in guys who maybe have a little baggage or, you know, are a little high maintenance or what have you. In some cases, it goes way beyond that. But, you know, they've been willing to kind of deal with that kind of stuff because they've been an aggressive organization and because, you know, they've got this year before the quarterback starts making crazy money. Now, the problem would be paying this guy, I guess, but we'll see. You know, the difference was Fitzpatrick, again, you couldn't pay him now if you wanted to. This guy is going to want some new money in his pocket, if not immediately, then certainly by, you know, February or March and the start of the next league year. So we'll see. We'll see. But there's a sense in the industry that the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Seahawks, those are the teams other teams are talking about the most in regards to Jalen Ramsey.
Right now, we're talking to Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Jason Lockenfour. As always, Insider Cars are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Jason, you bring up Minka Fitzpatrick, and you say that the Chiefs were deep in Minka Fitzpatrick. What can you tell us about Kansas City and Brett Veach's pursuit of Minka Fitzpatrick?
I mean, they were one of the final teams in it. Ultimately, Pittsburgh's package was deemed to be better from the Dolphins' perspective, but there was no lack of effort on the Chiefs' part. They were one of the first teams in, I'm told, and they were one of the last teams out.
Jason, so right now we've seen Minka Fitzpatrick be available. We've seen Jalen Ramsey be available. If you had to guess, who's next in your mind at that position?
In terms of defensive backs, I don't know. I mean, I guess if you're making me sort of look through a crystal ball, I would say, so let's say the Jags are able to get what they want for Jalen Ramsey in the next 3 to 5 weeks, you're stuck with Foles for another year next year. Maybe you could peddle him for pennies on the dollar in the offseason to eat some of the contract. But let's be real. They would be in a retooling stage. So to me, I would say, why would you not trade Calais Campbell? You know, I mean, is he really going to be – I mean, he's defied Father Time to this point, you know, like, you know, very few have. But, like, is he really going to be there in 2 years, you know what I mean, when you're ready to turn the corner? I know other teams are waiting to see, you know, this Ramsey thing. And then even the fact that they're considering it to the way that they are. If they are the team that other teams think they'll be, which means not contending by a country mile, and a coach in peril and Coughlin having to decide his future, and does he really want to stay on for what could be a longer rebuild, and maybe Gardner Minshew's part of the future, and maybe he's not, then the guys on that team over the age of 30 who still have something in the tank, teams will be – they'll have a – I mean, and why not, right? I mean, if you're trading Jalen Ramsey and you're looking at Nick Foles and Gardner Minshew and your next quarterback maybe being playing in college somewhere right now, why would you – and you've already got Oakland, right, loaded up in an arms race and Miami loaded up in an arms race. Why would you be holding on to 31, 32, 33-year-old football players?
Jason, two players that we get asked a lot about that I'm happy we have a national reporter on, Xavien Howard for the Dolphins and Patrick Peterson for the Arizona Cardinals. Number one, now with the fire sale that we see from the Dolphins, do you think Xavien Howard's going to be available? And why do you think Arizona is just so reluctant to trade Patrick Peterson?
I think the Dolphins have identified Xavien Howard as a part of the future. They just paid him in May. I know that the finality of Minkah Fitzpatrick being dealt struck him, and I saw what he, you know, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air thing he tweeted out with the empty house and all that. But they just gave him $30 million guaranteed, and there are people who've been straight up with me through that whole process are adamant with me that Fitzpatrick's the last real ball player out the door. So I'm gonna take them at their word. I don't know about Xavien Howard being moved. Patrick Peterson? It wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me, especially with, you know, they really kind of wanted him to be the face of the franchise, and he's been their team leader, and he asked for a trade multiple times last year, and they didn't do it, and ultimately Steve Wilks said, hey, man, can you stay here and help me try to, you know, keep my job? And he said, yeah, and then Wilks got fired anyway. They're playing pretty good ball without him. The defense last week against Baltimore was surprisingly good. And they could use some better skill players and a little bit more draft capital. But the problem there is the suspension. You know, there's not a whole lot of time between that and the trade deadline. So we'll see, but wouldn't shock me.
Jason Lockenfora, last question here. What timetable would you say it is to expect a trade to happen involving Jalen Ramsey? Minkah Fitzpatrick deal happened very quickly, took 72, 96 hours.
I don't know that I would, you know. I mean, I don't think it happens before Thursday's game. And then there'll be a real sweet spot for them for, 9-10 days before they play again. Would not shock me if it happened before week four, but it really will depend on the market and how steadfast they are. Are there any more behind the scenes blowups between him and, you know, Marone? Again, I don't believe he's there after the trade deadline, but if they feel like that deadline spur action and 4 weeks from now there might be more on the table, then that's a determination they're going to have to make. But I couldn't tell you an exact timetable. And the other thing, too, here is the contract. You know, Fitzpatrick is just a straight-up football trade. The signability and what this kid's expectations are and structure of a contract, that makes this a trickier situation as well.
And that was Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Jason Lockenfora. All insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Jason, thanks a lot for coming on today.
My pleasure. Have a good one, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Take care. That was Jason Lockenfora. I thought he said something really interesting at the end. Minkah Fitzpatrick was a football move. Jalen Ramsey is deeper than that. Let's get into that more coming up on the other side. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
We just had Jason Lockenfora on. Check the podcast page if you missed it. I thought he said two very interesting things about the Chiefs in their pursuit of a corner. I'm happy we had him. because this, I think, perfectly encapsulates the Chiefs' dilemma with Jalen Ramsey.
I don't believe he's there after the trade deadline, but if they feel like that deadline spur action and 4 weeks from now there might be more on the table, then that's a determination they're going to have to make. But I couldn't tell you an exact timetable. And the other thing, too, here is the contract. You know, Fitzpatrick is just a straight-up football trade. The signability and what this kid's expectations are and structure of a contract, that makes this a trickier situation as well.
That's what really complicates the Jalen Ramsey thing. No one's debating Jalen Ramsey the football player. Like, Jalen Ramsey the football player is an elite player. It's the personality. It's how he meshes with the other guys on the team. It's the contract. It's the compensation for it that really changes things for Jalen Ramsey. Basically, what the Pittsburgh Steelers did was just a pick for a player. We have a first-round pick. We don't want to take a quarterback. If we had the opportunity to draft someone like Minka Fitzpatrick, we would. He's under contract for 4 more years, 2 more years under that rookie deal. So that's a pretty one-to-one, straightforward kind of trade. The Jalen Ramsey trade is a little bit different. This is like the Khalil Mack trade. This is more like the Frank Clark trade. It's not just trading for the player. It's that person's going to inevitably be a face of your organization, and you're going to have to pay him top five position money at his position.
It's all those things that you just mentioned and one that you didn't. This is an either or. If you go out there and sign Jalen Ramsey, there's no way you can sign Chris Jones to a long-term contract. So what the Chiefs are telling us today is either they're not interested in Jalen Ramsey for one of those reasons that you bring up, or perhaps they're really interested in inking Chris Jones to a long-term deal, because they can't have both. Like, they're going to have to pay Patrick Mahomes. They just paid Tyreek Hill. At some point, there's not going to be enough money. We've got to that point. So if it comes down to Ramsey or Jones, I love Chris Jones. You could argue last year he was the second-best defensive tackle in all of football behind Aaron Donald. But the Chiefs are desperate at cornerback, and the best cornerback in all of football is available. If it's Ramsey or Jones, give me Ramsey all day.
Here's what Jason Lockenfor had to say about the Chiefs' pursuit of Minka Fitzpatrick. He went in a trade yesterday to the Pittsburgh Steelers. It seemed very clear to me, even if the Chiefs offered a first-round draft pick, the Steelers' first-round pick is just better than Kansas City, so why would Miami take that deal? Lockenfor says that the Chiefs were deep in the conversation for Minka Fitzpatrick.
I mean, they were one of the final teams in it. Ultimately, Pittsburgh's package was deemed to be better from the Dolphins' perspective, but there was no lack of effort on the Chiefs' part. They were one of the first teams in, I'm told, and they were one of the last teams out.
No lack of effort. They were one of the first teams in. They were one of the last teams out. That's the best news I've heard all day. You want to know why?
Why?
Because they know the same thing that I know, is they're not good enough at the position, so they need to be aggressive to go get it. They missed out on the Minka Fitzpatrick. That's fine. They weren't going to win that trade. But if they have that same mentality with players that are available between now and the deadline, they will get someone that significantly improves their cornerback group. Maybe it's not Minka Fitzpatrick because he's already been traded. Maybe it's not Jalen Ramsey because he costs too much. If they're going to be that aggressive, and if there's a corner that they like, they're going to be the first one in and the last one to leave the conversation, they will get someone to improve their secondary.
I suppose they can keep waiting. I mean, after 1 week, Minka Fitzpatrick, who's pretty damn good, became available. After 2 weeks, the best cornerback in football, Jalen Ramsey, became available. They're going to have to overpay, though. Like you were talking about, they couldn't get Minka Fitzpatrick. They could get Minka Fitzpatrick. They just didn't want to overpay. And sometimes in life and sometimes in football, if you really want something, you have to pay for more than the value of the actual player or thing. And the Chiefs are in that situation right now with a glaring hole at cornerback, on the cusp of not just being good or great, but winning a damn Super Bowl. They're probably going to have to overpay, and I think they should.
What would the Chiefs have had to give up to equal what the Steelers gave up?
That's two first-round picks.
Yeah, or maybe a first and a second. But their first is not a typical first-round pick. We could be talking about pick number 30, 31, something like that.
Think about what the Chiefs had to give to get up for Patrick Mahomes' top 10 pick. They'd have to give up that. Yeah, that's what the Steelers just gave up.
I'm just saying, is the Steelers have a first? I mean, the Steelers might have the 10th overall pick. If the Chiefs are picking 31, just what are you going to make that an equal trade for the Dolphins? Like, two first-round picks, a first and a second? Like, that's just way too much for Fitzpatrick. I wouldn't have been on that deal. That can get you Jalen Ramsey, perhaps. Thanks so much for listening. If you missed Therese Paylor, if you missed Jason Lockenfora, check out the podcast page on 610sports.com. We are off tomorrow because of the Royals day game, but we got you covered Thursday and Friday. Thanks so much for listening. It is The Drive. Drive home safe, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.